I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington, presented as always by Crop Metcalf. They are the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. You looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Just visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle, John Auville, Jason Bishop. That is the foursome. But joining us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline is our pal John Feinstein, best-selling author, Washington Post columnist. He's brought to you by Golfdom. The golf season is still in full swing. As we head to the best time of year to play, Golfdom has you covered to live the game in the fall with the best in apparel, clubs, shoes, and more. Visit Golfdom in Tysons or at golfdomgolf.com. Good morning, John.
Good morning, fellas. You know what I like best about playing golf in the fall?
The leaf rule, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. I can't find it under the leaves. I guess I get a free drop.
Free drop, of course.
I love that rule.
Roll them in the fairway, too. Always roll them in the fairway.
I used that on Thursday, actually.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
So speaking of golf, we got the Masters in a couple weeks. Now, this is going to be interesting because of the time of year.
Yep.
The biggest story, I guess there's a couple of them, obviously DeChambeau, how, you know, is he going to dominate the course and hit it 500 yards? And then Tiger coming back, although he's not been very good because he never plays.
But he is defending.
So what's the biggest storyline for you as a golf fan for this year's
Masters? Well, I think the setting is what you have to start with because, as you said, they're playing in November. Everybody says the golf course will be similar or roughly the same as it is in April. They do reopen the club in October every year during a normal year. But the other thing is there won't be any fans,
right,
or as the Augusta snobs call them, patrons. But part of the magic of the Masters on Sunday are those roars coming from the trees on the back nine in particular, where you've got the two reachable par fives. So I think you almost have to start with that, and then you get into the various stories about players. DeChambeau, of course, is going to get a lot of attention. Tiger Woods is going to get a lot of attention. Mickelson will, because if there's any place he can pull magic out of a hat again, it would be at the Masters, same as Woods. And then, you know, I always look at Rory McIlroy, who still hasn't completed the career Grand Slam, who's been playing okay this fall. Not great, but okay. And in some ways, that I think that's good for him to kind of come in a little bit under the radar and maybe not get quite so much attention trying to go for the Grand Slam as he's gotten in the past. And so there are – and the other thing is, as with any major championship, there's going to be somebody on that leaderboard nobody's talking about on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. That's just the way it works in golf. It's one of the things that makes golf cool.
Hey, do you happen to have any idea, you worked at the Golf Channel for a long time, who the Tiger tracker was? Was it a combination of people? Was it one person? Because they apparently have let them go.
Person. I mean, it may have been different people at different times.
Yeah.
But I think whomever was doing it was an individual.
And you didn't know who it was?
I'm not 100% sure because whoever the guy was, he never went out to golf tournaments. He just worked from the former studio in Orlando.
Is that true? It seemed like he was out there at many of the events, no?
Well, if he was, let's put it this way, I never crossed paths with him. That's all I can say for sure.
Bryson, by the way, I want to move on from golf, but Bryson's on the cover of SI. I don't know if you know that. I don't know if that's important to you. It used to be a big deal.
It used to be a big deal, right? There was the SI jinx, remember?
Yeah. I don't know. Did you see the picture of him without his shirt on?
I didn't. I'm not that interested in seeing a picture of him without
Valdez,
a shirt on, to
Valdez
be honest
is,
with you.
I can tell you that.
I examined it.
Is.
A lot of zooming.
Yeah, the guy's pretty jacked. He actually doesn't look that jacked.
Well, there's
with his
no
shirt
question.
On.
I mean, you don't need him to take his shirt off to see that. He put on 40 pounds, his muscle, and he's been hitting the ball that much farther as a result. And look, I find watching him play torture because he's so damn slow. And the whole pace of play issue in golf, especially now with these greens books, is just a huge issue that they're going to have to deal with. I mean, at some point, Jay Monahan doesn't do issues; he just does press conferences. But they've got to deal with it. And DeChambeau is kind of the poster boy for that too. That being said, I really respect the fact that he was ninth in the world. He was making all sorts of money and said, I'm going to completely change my body because this isn't good enough. And I give him 100% credit for that.
Mm-hmm. Right, man. Well, I don't know. See how it plays out.
When still doesn't mean I want to look at him with his shirt off.
Well, the guy looks pretty good. Looks like he played middle linebacker right now with the way
he's
built.
No, you know what? That's actually a good point. He looks like a linebacker.
Yeah,
the way he's built right now, he looks like a guy who could be standing right behind the line of scrimmage for some college football team somewhere.
Yeah, were you surprised just La Russa's coming back?
Yeah, a little surprised. Although the rumor's been around ever since they fired Renteria. This second time, by the way, that poor Rick Renteria's gotten fired, so a Chicago team could hire a star. He got fired. The Cubs were making good progress, and Theo Epstein fired him so he could hire Joe Maddon. Now, you know, they make the playoffs for the first time in, 12 years, and he gets fired in order to – so Jerry Reinsdorf can hire Tony La Russa. Now, I'm a big La Russa fan. Got to know him back in 92 when I did my first baseball book. He's as smart as anybody you're going to meet. And this whole age thing, I think it's overrated, overestimated, over-concerned by people. I was in touch with Tony just a couple months ago because I was trying to track Dave Stewart down for my book on race and sports, and he's as sharp as you can be. I remember my dad was running the Washington Opera when he was 76, and he was all there. My dad was all there when he died when he was 85, mentally. Mm-hmm. So this notion that, oh, you're 70, and the other thing is he has not been out of baseball. He's been in front offices ever since he retired from the Cardinals. He never walked away from the game. I think it's a good – is it a gamble? Sure. But I think it's a good gamble based on who Tony La Russa is.
Where does John Feinstein fall on the analytics argument? A team like Tampa believes in their analytics, and they stuck to it and took out Blake Snell when he was dominant.
Yeah, you know, I have a couple thoughts on that. It's a good question. First, analytics clearly – work to a certain point. I mean, the Tampa Bay has benefited from them, from it. The Astros have benefited from it. Everybody in sports uses it to some degree nowadays, and I get that. I'm not saying I understand them, but I do know that they can benefit teams. That being said, when you're in the game, you know, at some point you gotta go see. You gotta look at what's out on the field. Now it's interesting because Dave Roberts pulled Clayton Kershaw after 5 1/3, after he got two straight outs to end the fifth and start the sixth, and will not be criticized because the bullpen did the job and they won. My gut instinct watching was you don't take Clayton Kershaw out unless he's showing you some sign that he needs to come out or he says he's done because of pitch count, whatever. But it worked, so he didn't get criticized. Blake Snell was also pitching very well, was being fairly dominant, and Kevin Cash took him out. Kevin Cash did an unbelievable job this year getting them to within two games of winning the World Series, and all they're going to remember about him all winter was that he took Snell out and the bullpen did not get the job done. I think there's a certain unfairness there. But having said that, I really think what you are paid to do as the manager, when you are the manager and you're the one making the big bucks, is you've got to be the guy who makes the decision to go past the analytics. That just because a guy is 0-for-4 against a certain pitcher doesn't mean he can't get a hit off him. I mean, he put a guy in the bottom of the ninth on Saturday night who hit 150 for the season, and he came up with a winning hit. So there's more. I'm not saying analytics should not be used. Clearly they're useful, but I think there's a point where you go, okay, that's enough with the analytics. Let's manage or coach the team. And because it didn't work out, Cash will get criticized for it. And frankly, you know, again, just watching as a fan during that game, I never would have taken Snell out in that situation. Nor would I have taken Kershaw out, though, either.
Yeah. Well, that's what we do. We're second guessers.
Well, yes, we are.
That's what we do.
Yes, we are. But sometimes, and I'm sure you do too, Jason, sometimes I first guess.
Oh, yeah. I said, you know, on record I would have never taken Snell out. No way.
Right. And I, as I was watching the move, I was going, what's he doing? Mm-hmm. I mean, when he first came out, I that's Cash. That means he's going to make a change. What's he doing?
Right.
I've done basketball and football on TV and radio as an analyst. And when you do that, you're paid to first guess.
Yeah.
You're paid, I think this is a mistake. I think this is the right move. And you know what? I'm probably wrong as much as I'm right when I do that. But that's my job to do that. Not to say to people after it's over, oh, well, he should have called timeout there. If you're going to say the guy should have called timeout, and I do that a lot. I say, he needs a timeout here. Sometimes I get ignored. Sometimes the coach calls the timeout. And often when they don't and they're right, my next line is, well, that's why he's coaching and I'm talking.
Look, if I would have left him in for Betts. If Betts hits a bomb there or gets a double like he ended up doing down the line and drives in, okay, maybe then I pull him. But I certainly
would
have left him
Betts
in for
you heard what Betts said about it, right?
What did he said?
When I saw him taking him out, I was like, thank you.
Right.
Betts knew what he was facing, and he made him look bad on the first two at-bats.
Yeah.
But you're right. You never know. That's the thing. Sometimes you make the right move and you lose anyway.
Right.
Yeah, that could happen. Yep.
John, did you happen to catch the Maryland football game last week? And a couple of us are Maryland grads, and
that
you know,
die.
It's just so sad what's happening in this program. I know I like Loxley, but he's never had success as a head guy. Supposedly he's bringing in better talent, but it's hard to see it yet. What is sort of your take? And is this just? It looks like it's going to be another dreadful season.
Well, you guys asked me about Loxley last week, and yeah. I will say the same thing to you now as I said then. I think if you bring Vince Lombardi in to coach Maryland, it's a hard job because they're in the Big Ten. They don't belong in the Big Ten. If they were in the ACC, their talent would be comparable to everybody except Clemson and Notre Dame this year because they're in the ACC for 1 year. You don't think they can compete with Duke or Wake Forest or Virginia Tech. You know, some years they'll be better, other years not as good. But the Big Ten, even though, you know, Michigan State looks pretty bad, losing badly to Rutgers at home last week, Big Ten East, every year, Michigan State, Michigan, Penn State, and you hope James Franklin gets in a situation where he has to make a clock decision, Ohio State. You know,
yeah, but that was
Northwestern. It's been an improved program for many years. They're a little up and down, as they're going to be.
They won three games last year, John.
Yeah, but go back and look over the last 10.
I know, they're better. And Fitzgerald can coach.
They've been a bowl team like 7 out of the last 10.
But there's no way you should lose by 42.
No, absolutely not. Couldn't agree with you more. I mean, 43, it's funny because I was working on something, and I went on the computer, and I saw Maryland was leading 3-0. And I went, oh, okay. That's a decent start. And then the next time I checked, it was like 21-3. And I, oh, well, that's not so decent.
It was a bloodbath.
But you're right. They should not be losing 43-3 to Northwestern or, frankly, to anybody except maybe Ohio State.
And yeah, that's on the docket. Don't think it isn't. That's
absolutely. And Ohio State looked like Ohio State last week.
Yeah.
And, by the way, let me throw one other thing in since we're talking about Big Ten football. Mm-hmm. This new commissioner, Kevin Warren, is one of these guys who can work the phrase student-athlete into a sentence 11 times. We want to do what's best for the student-athletes, student-athletes this, student-athletes that. So Nebraska-Wisconsin gets canceled because of COVID. Okay, out of your control. But Nebraska wanted to schedule a game with an FCS team so their guys would have a chance to play this week. Big Ten says no. Why does the Big Ten say no? If this is all about the, quote, student-athletes, why don't you give them the chance to play? It's not their fault Wisconsin had a COVID outbreak. Let the kids play.
I agree.
It's not about, you know, rules or this or that. It should be about what's best for the players. Let them play.
Did they give a reason?
The reason was that the rule they had established that everybody was only going to
play the Big
Ten
this
season.
Okay.
But the rules have been changed on the fly 100 times this fall. At one point, the rule was we're not playing football.
Right. I know. I know. Right. Well, and then the Big Ten protocol of a kid has to sit out 21 days. I mean, that's just absurd. I mean, Wisconsin's season.
That's a little much, yes.
Wisconsin
right.
should just shut it down because they're down to their four-string quarterback anyway, and he's going to play against, I don't know, Purdue? I mean, it's just dumb.
Purdue is a week from Saturday, yeah.
Yeah,
well,
so.
Here's how ridiculous this football season is. And I'm glad they're playing, by the way. You know, and I hope that everybody stays safe and nobody gets really sick. But last Saturday, Army became the first team to accept a bowl bid. They have a deal with the Independence Bowl. So they won their sixth game. They're going to the Independence Bowl. Their opponent will be a Pac-12 team. And not only do they not know which Pac-12 team, but whomever that team is has not yet played a game.
Right.
I mean, come on. How ridiculous is that?
It's amazing.
Yeah. I know. It's just
Army versus a team that hasn't played.
It's a wacky year.
Right, they could play a team that's 2-0.
John, appreciate the time as always. Talk to you next week.
Enjoy, guys. See ya.
Thank you, John. Right. Awesome. Happy weekend. Happy Halloween. Washington Post columnist John Feinstein. You know, when we talked to J.P. Finley earlier, we touched on Dwayne Haskins just a little bit. There are rumblings that his side has demanded a trade. I don't know if it's a hard demand or whatever. We want to hear from you. What would it take for you to deal Dwayne Haskins? Would you do it for a seventh-round pick? 800-636-1067. We'll open up the AAA Always On Call listener lines and get into Dwayne Haskins possibly being traded from the Washington football team next here on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Coming up at 9:45, Stuckey's going to join us to give us his winners. He's a professional handicapper for the Action Network. We gave you our fatties at 6:45. If you missed it, we posted it on our Twitter account, at Junks Radio. Collectively, we're just one game above 500 so far this season. But it can turn around this week. We can catch a heater.
Well, I mean, again, that's picking against the spread.
Yes.
So, I mean, it is what it is.
You have to pick against the spread. You can't just pick games. That's for a three-year-old.
Yeah, you can't pick Survivor.
I agree, but, I mean, a lot of people do that, you know.
Well, that's dumb. That's
you go on TV,
dumb.
Those TV guys are largely not picking.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're just picking winners.
Yeah.
They're not picking against the spread, largely.
Right.
Well, on game day on ESPN, they do pick fatties.
They do.
And they use it against the spread, and they have the bear picking his games. And
yeah, but usually
year.
I think when I watch Terry and all
oh,
those
yeah, they
guys,
just pick outright winners.
They're just picking outright winners. It's like, come on, get out of here.
But you know what? That's not always easy either.
Not always
I mean,
easy.
Survivor
sure.
pools aren't easy to win.
They are not.
They're
not.
For sure.
They're
upsets all the time, no doubt. But still.
All right, so yesterday.
Especially when you can't burn them more than once.
So yesterday when this kind of news came out that Haskins – and J.P. Finley kind of downplayed a little bit, but the Haskins people essentially, his agent, whatever, have said that they want out of Washington, which makes sense. He's not going to play. He knows that. He sees the writing on the wall. He was moved from starter to third string. He's not going to be on the field in a Washington uniform the rest of the way, right? I put that out on Twitter, and oh, my God, so many people responded, oh, trade him for a ham sandwich. I'd trade him for tacos. I'd trade him for nothing. Just get him out of here.
People are doing bits.
And I think that's a little harsh. This was a guy who was a first-round pick a year ago. And, yes, I never was high on him personally, and he had terrible numbers this year. But he's competent enough that in a game, in fact, in his most recent start, he threw for 300 yards with no turnovers. He's competent enough to be on a roster, and I think he would be a decent fit on a team that has a veteran who maybe is going to phase out in a couple of years, that they could groom him if a team would stash him. So I personally would need at least a fourth rounder to unload him. Ooh. If it's below a fourth rounder, I'm just going to hold on to him because, look, Kyle Allen could get hurt next week. And you may need Dwayne Haskins.
So you want to deal with that drama for another season just because a team won't budge off a fourth round pick?
I think the drama's a little overstated.
Oh, I don't think it is. I think if he's in the locker room and Ron Rivera's getting asked about him all the time, and anytime the starting quarterback struggles, you're going to be looking over your shoulder at Haskins, and Rivera and the staff clearly don't want to play him, are not enamored with him.
So what would you do, Cakes? Cakes,
I would
the GM.
Ask for a fourth. Like you said, I would start at a fourth.
Do you say no?
A sixth? I would take anything to get rid of him.
So you would need a sixth.
I need to turn the page. I mean, give me a sixth and a conditional seventh. And I just have to turn the page on this.
Well, if you realistically want a fourth, you got to ask for a third, right? So you can't ask for a fourth because they're going to come back. They're going to counter.
Right.
So
I'm just saying,
ask for a third.
I would not go below a fourth round pick.
I think a fourth is the number where I feel comfortable too. I agree largely with JP. I don't think they have any interest in experimenting with him anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But he does have some value. I mean, he's clearly a better option than Alex Smith at this point. So if Kyle goes down, you know, I'd rather go to Dwayne than Alex, just in terms of getting a chance to win.
Right.
So he has some value.
It's interesting.
Chippy's
yeah.
right. He deserves to be on a roster.
You think there's a team that would give him a fourth?
I'm not sure that there is.
I don't think there is now.
I'm not
Based
sure that there
kind
is.
Of the kind of. I mean, I think Washington kind of blew it. Right. They didn't up his trade value. They kind of made it known they're not fans of him.
They would have been better off, honestly, they would have been better off just starting Kyle Allen and not showing any more of Haskins on tape and dealing him earlier in the season or during the offseason. If they they had already made their minds up that he was not going to be the guy.
In hindsight, yes. But they wanted to see. They didn't know.
But I think they had little hope.
He could have played well in those first three games.
Yeah, I think they had a little hope,
yeah.
You know, because he does have some arm talent.
Well, you want your first-round pick to hit. You don't want to have to press the reset button or go to plan B. You want it to work out. It just didn't.
Right. Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see if anything happens before next Tuesday.
What about you, Jason? You didn't say, what would it take for you? You're the GM. A team's not going to give you a third rounder. They're going to give you a fourth rounder. Do you do the deal?
I jump all day to fourth.
So you do it for fourth.
In a
heartbeat.
I just don't think it's going to
happen. Would you do it for just a fifth?
I might because, see – if we're in the room we're hearing the coaches talk and they say, look, the guy just can't play, then of course I'd take a fifth. But, you know, Bick makes a good point. I mean, I would feel more comfortable with Dwayne. Let's just say Washington wins the next two games and they're squarely in the hunt for that division. I would feel more comfortable with Dwayne as my backup than Alex if something happened to Kyle Allen. That's just me.
Right.
Now, I don't think Dwayne's going to play great and beat good teams, but I still would rather have him in there than Alex because I just think Alex is, you know, he's just done.
And we should leave open the possibility. I'm not saying the likelihood, but the possibility that the guy's working hard right now behind the scenes and sees what's happened.
It's a possibility.
That he's learning and that he's developing even though he's not on the field so that when he's given another chance – let's say it's next year. Let's say you never get the deal that you want. Like for me, nobody offers a fourth rounder. I just say hold on to him. And he's on the roster next year, which is year three, still in a rookie deal. Maybe he's developed where he turns out to be decent.
Okay, but how is he developing without getting snaps in practice? I mean, the starter gets, what, 90%
or more?
Well,
there was a report that he was working after practice with some of the guys, putting in time there. I mean, it's not the same.
But also just learning the defenses just by being there on the sideline, seeing the coverages. You know, that's the way guys learned in the past, you know, years
ago. Well, also doing your film work. Right. I mean, just putting in as much extra time as possible, especially if you're not getting the reps in practice.
Right, being coached in the quarterback room as much as on the field. All right, let's go to the phones. You can give us your take on the AAA Always On Call listener line.
Here's the other thing we don't know. We don't know if he's bitching to his agent every single day. Hey, get me out of here. Get me out of here. I want to go somewhere else.
No idea.
We just don't know. And if he is, then you obviously, the coaches would obviously know that. So then you have no option. You
what struck me, and I talked about it on Monday, was with McLaurin giving that speech to the team afterwards that we were privy to because the cameras were in there. Not only was it impressive coming from a second-year guy like McLaurin, but McLaurin, who's buddies with Dwayne, clearly all in. You know, McLaurin doesn't care who's quarterback, you know.
He just wants the guy who gives him the best chance of catching 100 balls this
year. Well, the best chance to win.
Right.
And those guys, and I've seen other guys, too, walking off the field, dapping up Kyle Allen, where it seems like his teammates really respect Kyle Allen, too. Not saying that they don't respect Dwayne, but it seems like Kyle's got the support of his guys right now. All right, let's go to line one. Let's go to JC, Virginia Beach. JC, what's up, man? You're on the Junks.
Good morning, guys. I just had I think Dwayne does have some talent. I agree. He was a first-round pick for a reason. I do wonder if we could target somebody who's also giving up on their quarterback, like the Browns and Baker Mayfield, or if you could package Dwayne along, and maybe I'm on drugs here, but package Dwayne with, like, Jimmy Moreland and one of the Ryans and send him up to New England for Stephon Gilmore, who wants out. Because Belichick could probably turn him into a Pro Bowler, but I would maybe target a team that also has a guy who's on a short leash, and maybe we could just swap problems. What do you guys think?
Well, the one guy that we threw out there was Darnold, potentially. I don't think the Browns are giving up on Mayfield, and you would trade Haskins and five other guys for Baker, honestly. I don't know.
It just seems like a guy like Gilmore is going to command more than a Haskins and Ryan Anderson.
Yeah, that's not going to get it done.
You know what I mean?
That's not going to get it done.
That's a fantasy trade if I've ever heard.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
Yeah, and I don't see.
I mean,
Belichick,
he's arguably the best at his position.
I don't see him wanting to groom and try to figure out Haskins. You know what I mean? I don't see him having the patience, tolerance for any of that for somebody else's cast off. Maybe a grizzled veteran, but not a young guy like that.
But who knows? We may be surprised. If his team's out there willing to give a fourth, where do I sign?
I know.
Yeah.
Do it 5 minutes ago if that's
right.
The case.
And maybe even a fifth. And maybe there's no rush. You know, just see how the season goes, see how the offseason goes, and, you know, eventually you make your move. Yeah,
if there's a team that's willing to give better than a fourth, well, then you're just stealing it.
Right.
Yeah. All right, let's go to line three. Let's go to Dave in Arlington. Hey, Dave, what's up, man? You're on with the Junkies.
Hey, guys. Long-time listener, first-time caller. Thanks a lot.
Sure. Thanks, buddy.
I think you got to just – he's got to be dealt because, to me, it seems like it's just going to become more of a problem and almost like a Robert situation the longer it goes on. I think I saw a lot of Dwayne when he came into the league, a lot of entitlement and everything else. You've talked about EB with his body language and everything else, and I just think that same type of thing is going to be more harmful to the team and more of a distraction than anything. It's the longer and longer this goes on.
I don't know. I mean, the body language didn't look great the one time they had him just sitting there on the bench kind of disinterested. But, you know, they only showed him the one time, in fairness. I'm going to just assume that he's handling it as well as he can at this point. I think it's crazy to assume the worst.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully he's handling it professionally.
And he's not a distraction.
Learning how to be a pro
at
a young age.
It's hard. It's hard. A young kid, you know, you've always had, you know, you've been the starter and you've always had these opportunities. So it's hard. I get it.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to just assume that he's for sure, you know, copping a bad attitude. Maybe he's handling this the right way.
Man, it's been a rocky couple of years here for him in D.C.
It's been tough, man. And his
defense. It's not all on him.
He hasn't had anybody waving the flag for him.
Trust me, I'm not completely blaming Haskins. He has to shoulder some of the blame, but it's just been a lot of weird circumstances he's been involved in.
All right, let's go to Marvin in Landover, line two. Marvin, what's up, pal?
Hey, how's it going, Junks?
Hey, buddy.
What's up?
Yeah, well, let me give my little quick take. I think that they should probably get take whatever they can get for him. If it's a fourth, fifth, sixth, whatever, they just need to move him now. They've devalued him enough. And like I said, this organization really has no forethought. I mean, honestly, right now we should be in the last year of having Kirk Cousins for $18 million. I mean, really, 4 years, $72 million is what he wanted at first. And even though he's really, really average, that would be a steal right now for a quarterback. We paid $22.5 million for Alex, and sorry that happened, the injury happened. But that was also, we had to give up Kendall Fuller and a third-round pick. So they don't have any forethought on this organization. They never have, and most likely never will. That's the biggest problem with this team. They never see the future as really something positive. And one more thing just before I get on the phone, the owner, please, please, Daniel Snyder, and I know he probably will never listen to this, stop interfering with football decisions. He had no business drafting a guy that the coaches didn't want. It's just a bad situation, and that's where we're at right now.
Yeah. You know the other thing that's interesting I was thinking about specifically in regards to Haskins is, you know whose voice has really been quieted, it seems like, this year? Is Doug Williams. Mm-hmm. We haven't heard a lot from Doug.
Remember, they changed his position.
I know. And, you know,
maybe there's no reason to hear from him.
Well, but, you know, you'd think he'd be a mentor in the building for Dwayne.
He might
be. And he might be. But he's just, his voice has been muted. Now, my understanding is when he was reassigned, he wasn't very happy about it. So yeah. Maybe that's part of it, too. Maybe he's kind of distancing himself, you know, in his own way. I have no idea.
Phone number is 800-636-1067. We'll come back, take more of your calls. What would it take for you to trade Dwayne Haskins right now? The trade deadline's coming up next week. Do want to remind you, tonight, 6 o'clock, you can listen to Game 7 of the World Series as we celebrate. It's the one-year anniversary of the Nationals winning the World Series, the one-year anniversary celebration on The Fan. It's brought to you by Paul Henry's Window Installation. Save 10% on windows and doors in October. Contact Paul Henry's Windows. com for details. Be back with more of your calls at 800-636-1067.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter.
Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington talking about Dwayne Haskins. Started the year. Cakes wanted to give him all 16 games no matter what.
I did.
So did I.
He stumbled early on. And then in week four, actually had a clean sheet, threw for 300 yards, and then was benched, which a lot of people found curious, but they had determined already that they weren't fans of his, that they just didn't think they could implement enough of the offense with Dwayne Haskins. So they turned to Kyle Allen, who was familiar with Scott Turner's offense, who had played under Ron Rivera, and he was moved from first string to third string. And it's pretty clear he's not going to step on the field again this season, barring some catastrophic injuries, in a Washington uniform. So what would you deal? What would you need in a deal for Dwayne Haskins? That's what we've thrown out there. Let's go back to the phones at 800-636-1067.
All right, we need some more calls here. Let's see. Let me see. Let's go to line one. Let's go to Sean in Portsmouth. Sean, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Jocks.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, Sean.
Sean. What's up, Sean?
I think if you're going to trade him for a fourth-round pick, anything less than that, try to trade him to a team that got a decent kicker. Because Dustin Hopkins, man, he's – I don't know what's going on with that guy, but we need a good kicker.
Yeah, haven't been great.
Yeah, kickers, they come – you know, they get hot and cold,
I would say kicker trades extremely rare.
Yeah. They're more likely to just pick a guy off the scrap heap and hope he gets hot.
Right.
That's kind of how they deal with kickers.
It's amazing how many guys have played for Washington that's still in the league, like kicking elsewhere, like Graham Gano.
Oh, yeah. Bunch of them.
Didn't Kai Forbath just resurface with the team?
Yep.
Believe he did.
I think, you know, some teams are, because of COVID, I think, are keeping two kickers. They're having one on the practice squad. They're kind of stashing
them. That makes sense, yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, Jason, you'd probably be familiar with the story. I forget. I think it was in a college game. Wasn't there a guy, or maybe it was even in the pros, wasn't there a kicker, I think he was an African-American kicker, who hit a field goal who had never done it before in high school or college? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I don't know.
Yes. Hold on. I remember watching the highlight. Yeah.
I'll look it up while we'll take
where
the calls.
Where did it happen?
It might have been in the NFL, actually. Like, he never kicked in high school or college.
Well, you know how you always have these guys that have the YouTube videos of their trick shots? I don't know if you saw the one of the guy who kicked the side of the football, made it spin upright.
Yeah.
Then he kicked, like you would do with a basketball on your finger.
Saw
then
it.
He kicked the side of the football again, kept it spinning harder. Then he kicked it out one more time on the side, and so it's spinning. And then he kicked it what looked like about a 50-yarder.
I think it was
off
a
54-yarder.
Yeah. It's been all over Twitter like the last week.
Okay.
Was it the Louisville kicker?
It's the Jaguars kicker.
Oh, okay.
That was insane.
The Jaguars kicker had never kicked in high school or college, and then his first field goal ever was in a professional football game for the Jaguars.
Wow.
When they played the Lions.
Wow. It's someone that they had signed? John, he just did well in camp or something?
Was his name John Brown?
John Brown. I just put it in the Google Hangout. Oh, you know what? I put it in the one. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll put it in there.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
I don't know where Hopkins ranks. I'd have to look it up. But I'm guessing he's probably middle of the pack, but he's some of these kicks are, they just look like they're easy layups and he just pushes them.
Yeah. I'm not quite ready to give up on him quite yet. I'm always partial to kickers.
I'm not either.
But and remember, he was brought in because of his leg, right? So a good part of his job is make sure you kick it into the end zone so they don't return it. Of course, that he failed them one time last week and they had a big return on him.
Now he hasn't had to make a big kick in a pressure spot in a while.
Well, there's just, yeah.
So let's see how he does there.
Yeah, but he has had moments, though, too, where he's been pretty good.
I know.
So he's just kind of swinging bad right now, but let's see if he can't figure it out. I hate to give up on him. I don't know why.
It's one thing to miss.
Here's why, because you have an affinity for kickers.
I do have an affinity for kickers. But believe me, you could cut him and sign somebody else, and, you know, it's a lot less impactful than when you give up on a quarterback. That's a big move.
Kickers are super disposable. They just are. It's the nature of the position.
I'm looking around to see if there's anybody else's trash or backup that we could trade for, specifically at the quarterback position.
Yeah.
And, man,
good
there's
luck.
Just...
I mean, good luck finding it.
There's just not much out there. I mean, you know, most of the backups are like Jeff Driscoll, Nate Sudfeld,
Colt McCoy,
you know, Jordan Love. They're not going to give up on him. Brian Hoyer.
Chase Daniel. You could probably have him.
I'm looking
Nathan
right
Peterman.
Now.
Nathan Peterman is still in the league.
I'm looking right now at the kicking stats. Okay. Yeah. So there's a few guys who haven't missed yet. Mason Crosby, Cody Parkey, Chris Boswell, Will Lutz, Jason Sanders, all perfect this year. You go all the way down to 30, and that's where you find Dustin Hopkins because he's missed four field goals. He's 66.7%.
And he missed an extra point.
And he missed an extra point. Let me see where he ranks in extra points.
Guys are going to miss extra points now. They moved it back.
I know. But there's a bunch of guys who haven't.
Correct.
He's near the bottom, too, because he has missed. So he's just not having a great year. But, again, next year he could be 100%.
There's no doubt.
Let's go back to the phones. 800-636-1067.
All right, let's go to Dave, line two, Silver Spring. Dave, what's up, man? You're on with the Junks.
Hey, how you guys doing? Great show, as always.
Thanks, man.
I'm disappointed that, you know, it's come down to this with Dwayne Haskins being a hometown kid and so forth and so on, but it is what it is. I wouldn't take less than a four, but I would consider taking a 2022 draft pick if that would get them where they'd want to be.
Man, because
they could still use that draft pick if they wanted to trade in 2021. And, you know, you'd wait a little bit longer, but I think it would be worth it because the leverage, to me, they have no leverage right now. Maybe that would be leverage for them to get a better pick.
Dave, you're a patient man. Thanks for your call.
You are patient. I mean,
going to 2022.
I was thinking I might be dead, but by listening to your voice, you might be dead in 2 years.
I think ultimately they're going to deal him for either a fifth or a sixth rounder, like a fifth rounder and maybe like a 2022 sixth. I think that's going to be your compensation package because other teams have seen what happened with Josh Rosen and now he flamed out. And I know this is an independent situation. One has nothing to do with the other, but teams just aren't going to give up a lot for a guy who was just a washout in his first stop, no matter how much talent they think he might have.
Right. Especially when – who was it? Who was it with Minnesota? What they were involved in a big trade, too, with a quarterback, right? Remind me. Why have I forgotten? Where they gave up a bunch or they got a bunch. Do you remember?
I don't recall.
Before Cousins. Who was
– prior to Cousins, who was the starter? I mean, Christian Ponder was there.
Ponder,
there must
have
been somebody in between that I can't think about.
I remember – oh, yeah, it's the guy he retired. Was it Carson Palmer? Didn't Carson Palmer get a lot of money from somebody, like a bunch of draft picks? Do you remember that? Something. It was just
not
about
for the Vikings.
Maybe not the Vikings. It was 3 or 4 years ago. But anyway, I'll have to look it up.
I think the Raiders may have overpaid for Carson Palmer from what you're talking about.
Yeah.
It's kind of ringing a bell.
Let's go to Matt in Ashburn. Matt, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junks.
Gentlemen, good morning. How are you?
What's up?
Hey, buddy.
Good morning. I really don't have a dog in this fight. I'm kind of a Ravens fan, so I kind of wanted to know why Drabby, you know, is using the term fraudulent for us. But I kind of wanted to throw out the name Jalen Hurts as you guys were just talking about backups. Wondering, I really don't know, you know, if you could even trade Haskins at this point until he shows something. But maybe a Haskins and a Kerrigan potentially for Jalen Hurts. And then if you really wanted to go after the division this year, which I think you could based on the defense, how they're playing right now, inquire about Fitzmagic. Bring in Fitzmagic and potentially a Marvin Jones and have him slinging around and have the defense set him up all the rest of the year. So those are my thoughts.
Yeah, I brought up Fitzmagic a couple weeks ago. Like I wouldn't be shocked at all if that's a guy that they sniff around in the offseason. And then you draft a developmental guy, you let Fitzmagic play until that other guy's ready. I don't hate that plan.
By the way, when I mentioned Ryan Tannehill earlier, that in his last 16 games, he was top five in the league in QBR. Ryan Fitzpatrick was in there. I think Lamar Jackson was one. Aaron Rodgers was two. But Ryan Fitzpatrick was in the top five.
Mm-hmm. Having a pretty good year. But, you know, again, There was a plan there in Miami. I mean, you drafted a guy five overall.
I think, like we said yesterday, what happened was the bye week got moved up, and that just kind of accelerated things, even though Fitzpatrick was playing well. All right, let's go to line three. Let's go to Matt. Oh, no, we just did that. Let's go to line 4, Zach in Brandywine. Hey, Zach. What's up, buddy?
Hey, life is good, man. Thanks, Junkies. Great show, as always.
Thanks, man.
So, for me, I'm getting whatever I can get for Haskins. I would love to get as much value as humanly possible. Mm-hmm. But for me, I just don't think he's playing ball. You're hearing the whispers coming out of, you know, he wants to be traded. My big thing is, who is Dwayne Haskins that he cannot be benched? So, for me, if you get an attitude and you're all fired up about getting benched, then we can't develop you. There's no way we can keep you. So let's just get them out of there. Bad for the building. You know, let's, you know, kind of make the mistake and move on. Don't keep trying to double down on it and trying to get something for nothing.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Pretty much agree with you. And I think Ron Rivera is generally a guy who, if you're not in his future plans, he's just going to get rid of you. He did it with Quentin Dunbar. I won't be shocked if it happens with Dwayne Haskins. And I think that they're ultimately going to have to settle for less than they want. Because other teams are just not going to overpay for who's still a guy who's a project, a quarterback.
Do you think he'll be traded before Wednesday?
Yes.
JP?
I think he will be.
Bic?
No.
I'd like to see it happen, but I don't think it will.
I think he will be.
Three or four junkies recommend trading.
Yeah, that
Dwayne
just means we're going to be wrong.
Oh, no. I recommend it. I'm just not sure that they're going to be able to pull it off. Yeah.
Yeah, we're just betting on it, Cakes, not necessarily recommending it.
Right. Well, I recommend
betting
and
on the likelihood.
I recommend it, and I'm betting on it.
All right, coming up next, we're going to switch gears. We'll open up the entertainment page. EB's going to fill us in on Kim Kardashian's outrageous birthday gift next here on The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.